Disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed by the participants in this show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. Enjoy the show. Justin's here.
Hey.
And joining us this week, back for their, I guess we're doing these twice a year now, about every 6 months. It's a Funimation show with our pals, marketing manager Adam Sheehan. Adam, thanks for coming back.
Thank you so much. Love being here.
And, of course, the director of corporate strategy, Lance Heiskell. Hey, Lance.
Strategery.
Sorry. Is that on your business cards? Is it misspelled?
It's pronounced. Yeah, on his card.
Okay. All right. So, you know, first things first. How's it going?
A-okay. Basically, yeah, we're doing fine. What's fun is our co-pro, our first one, when people go on, are they really doing this? It's T-minus 2 weeks in counting.
God, it's been so long working on this game. This is like just around the corner.
Which is fun. So it's like a new set for Funimation. You know, just health of us in industry, you know. Anime is still in Best Buy. You can go walk into every Best Buy and get stuff. You can still go into every Walmart. Amazon's been real healthy for us. Riot Stuff is awesome. All of our other retailers, Robert's Anime Corner Store, you know, all the cons like Anime Pavilion, you know, all those retailers, everything's good. You know, the economy's kind of stable. Fans are hopefully getting some new jobs. Hopefully no one's getting laid off.
Yeah, we're still seeing a lot of people out there purchasing items. They're not stopping anytime soon.
Oh, yeah.
They're just going to different places to find them.
Yeah. So for us, it's a steady as she goes.
Mm-hmm.
So no dramatic changes one way or the other since the last time we talked, basically.
Nope.
No, that's kind of lucky and happy, I think, this way. No downturns.
Yeah, right, the one upswing is we have seen increasing growth in streaming on like our YouTube and our Hulu, and that hasn't impacted anything on our own video sales, and sometimes it actually helps. So
yeah,
it's no sorry. Sorry, fans, no bad news to report.
Yeah, on that note, even we've actually even started just the last month putting some shows on our subscription service on our Funimation.com early before they even hit street, and they've actually got more people to subscribe with not hurting sales at all. So yeah. It's been a big plus.
Yeah, what we try to do is we have these little bets that we do, little tests on shows to see if something works, and if it does work, then we'll introduce it to other brands to try out.
Well, I mean, it sounds like you're operating from a place of it is common knowledge, I guess, that streaming a show hurts its physical sales.
Oh, from the last time we talked, no. It was whenever you buy our DVDs, we have that survey card. It pops to the URL. And then I cross-reference that to the online survey that I do, which I do twice a year. So in June, I'll probably be doing another big-ass survey. And that's the one I did in January, because I always ask the question, which of the following influence you to buy a series? You can select more than one. Number one is always, I saw a couple of episodes online, and that was like 67%. And then when you just highlight specifically Netflix, you know, Netflix is also an option, like mail rental or streaming to check it out. That was 41%. But then I have a follow-up. It's like, okay, well, if you were influenced by purchasing this through seeing some episodes online, and if you saw it on Netflix, did you watch a couple of episodes or did you watch the entire series? And more people answered, I watched the entire series than just watching a couple of episodes. Because sometimes people go, oh, yeah, that's a good show. I don't want to watch it all because I want to buy the DVD. I want to see it, you know, in HD and all of its glory. But then a lot of people it's kind of like, why do we buy community box sets? Why do we by Game of Thrones since it was on HBO. I mean, I could have seen that. I can just keep on my DVR or whatever. People just want to say, you know, I like that show. I'm going to buy it. I'm going to collect it.
They want to own it for the show.
Yeah. And so I just think it's like you're kicking the tires and you're like, yeah, I want to keep that show. And because like for windowing, the term windowing is because on a lot of our stuff, we once it's launched online, we usually put it like, you know, 4 months on, then we take it off for 4 to 6 months and we put it back on 4 months. And then we kind of like tweak it. So you don't really know exactly our pattern. But then for like our subscription service for like Funimation EBS, we'll have a longer, we'll have like longer windows. And so we just try to give everybody different varieties of how they want to access it.
Yeah, the overall feeling that we talked about last time was where did actually streaming fall in with the physical media? It seems to really be working, basically giving people multiple options however they want to get it. They want to download off PlayStation Network, if they want to watch it on our YouTube page or on Funimation.com. Given that as a secondary source to watch anime alongside of buying it, has worked out great. And having a variety of different options from dub and sub all out there has been a big plus. Like in the dub world, things are working really well for us on the Funimation.com because it's kind of our angle because we have free subs everywhere like that. So we have a lot more people watching dubs on our subscription, but it doesn't stop everyone watching subs at all. We're still getting tons of people on the simulcast and everything that's coming up.
Yeah, and 2 points to add on to that. One point is for like all the viewing things, it's not just new content, it's old content because whenever we look at Hulu, we look at, you know, each quarter, what were like the top 20 shows are most watched. Crazy thing is, in the last two quarters, we had Fruits Basket up, and it was in the top 20. And we released that 10 years ago now.
The show never dies.
No, nope. That's because it's a good show. It's just because
we like evergreens.
Because, you know, we have people new into anime, and so this show might be old to us, but it's new to our fans. And so a lot of it is just showing like, well, quality just rises to the top and a lot of that stuff. The second point that I also want to mention is, you know, since like streaming or digital or buying it, at the end of the day, it's like people are just consuming anime. And, you know, you're an anime fan if you watch it. You know, if you just stream it, you're just a streamer. You just want to watch your anime. Okay, well, you know, a lot of that now is, you know, it's commercially funded, you know, with, you know, it's commercial stuff. And so, you know, you're consuming it, you're supporting the industry. You can download it. You just don't want the physical stuff, but you kind of want to download it. Okay, that's great. Or you want to physically own it, or just want to rent it. Like, yeah, I just want to see that movie. I'll just pay. So what's good is now it was like, you know, every industry has to play catch up to all the innovations, and all the innovations is people online and porn. And so all industries kind of see what works, and then, you know, industries are so bureaucratic, you have to kind of like catch up. The good thing is it's finally around like 2011, 2012, all the industries are catching up. So a lot of this stuff, all the fan complaints, and, well, why can't you do this? Well, why can't you do this? Well, why can't you do this? Now we're getting to the point where a lot of the mechanisms are in place. So as you see, like, you know, with each of the new seasons in the shows in Japan, you know, things are being acquired faster, brought up faster. And, you know, we're trying to work on things where we can get out the dub faster. And so, you know, it's not with lack of trying.
So it sounds like things have kind of started after like this tumultuous 5 years of horrifying, you know, earthquakes and change and stuff. Things have started to reach an equilibrium.
Yeah, I think definitely so. I mean, I think it actually started hitting last year. We just basically, everyone was still kind of like, is this the for real? Is this really going to stop leveling? We're not going to go to the bottom. And things are now really, you know, people trial and error a lot of different things of what didn't work. We're looking at what does work, that we're actually going, people are actually believing it now. They're seeing the equilibrium out there.
Yeah, because speaking of, at the end of the day, a lot of the U.S. anime companies make a lot of their profit on the DVD and the Blu-ray sales. But now with, you know, partners like Netflix and then the adoption of digital through, you know, PlayStation and iTunes and Xbox, and then, you know, partners like Hulu and YouTube, we're seeing the value. It's some of that lost DVD sales that online and the digital does make up, but it doesn't make the full fraction of what was lost in the past. And so, so kind of like the relative amount of units that, you know, a show would do in around 2005 is still not to that level now. But a lot of it is there are some things saying that can make up for that loss. But whenever you look at the full amount of people that are actually, you know, consuming anime, I think that number has gone up. It's just not gone up in the DVD sales, but we see it's gone up on the views on Hulu and stuff like that. So, you know, because like you see it anecdotally at conventions, that conventions just keep growing. I mean, some of it is it's like that's just a, you know, some of it is it's a lot of the cons have finally found a model where, you know, you have a big con, it's gotten too big, let's start a smaller con in our area, and then each one of those grows. Because if you go to animecons.com, I mean, gee, you count, it's like 200 anime cons in the U.S.
There's more than one every single week in the entire year round.
Yeah, yeah. And so you can see, like the level of fandom is growing.
Yeah, the what we call the digital tier and the whole almost digital generation out there, what we call, is just definitely growing the pod. Just basically seeing what their likes and dislikes are. And I don't think they all know what they are yet themselves. I think there's stuff still growing and changing with them. Not, of course, discounting that you're thinking that Blu-ray or DVD is going to go away, because it's not. We still see people buying them in droves. I mean, yeah. There's people we talk to at conventions who come up with like $700 worth of anime, say, I only purchase at two cons a year. I watch everything online between them, but I still buy a lot of anime. I just buy it in bulk.
Yeah, because a lot of it is like the collectors have never gone away.
Nope.
The casual fans that might try out, and because like used to with the volumes, you would see a lot of sales in volume one, and then you see like a drop off on 2, 3, 4, and you see that, you know, a drop off from, you know, to volume 6. It's a lot of people that they wanted to try out a show. And back in those days is you couldn't try it out online. You couldn't stream it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could test it out with a couple of fan subs, but if you weren't at a college campus, that was a lot of bandwidth. You probably just didn't have a lot of time, so it was just easier to go to a Best Buy and pick up a volume. And but these days, if you are that casual anime fan, instead of going and picking up a volume, you just go online, like the Hulu, check out a show. And then if you really like it, then you would start to collect it. So that casual fan, yeah, they probably don't buy as many Blu-rays or DVDs, and only like one or two or three. But the collectors, they've never gone away. You know, those the people that want the you know, that pre-order it, that buy it, that want the nice stuff, that wants
don't hear all about it. They want the extras.
You know, they want to live and breathe. I mean, it's like it's their lifestyle.
So. Since you're not courting the casual fans anymore with the DVDs, or at least not as much, does that change how you can, say, price them or how you sell them?
Well, a lot of the stuff is with the casuals. It's like we always do those anime classics and the saves. So whenever because, I mean, even though you're a casual anime fan, you still want to collect. And sometimes it's like, you know what, I don't want to buy a Full Metal right now. It's like I didn't want to buy the 13 volumes. I didn't have that cash, but I can get the entire series for $100 of those two box sets. Oh, Amazon has a sale for two, and Right Stuff has a sale. Great, I can get it for 60. Awesome. Yep. What else can I pick up? And so that's kind of like what we're doing. It's like you have different tiers of fans. The collectors that, you know, we only offer the most awesome stuff at the very beginning because that's who we want to reward. And if all the people that kind of want to get it on the tail end, then they just have to wait a little bit, but then it'll be at a cheaper price, but they won't get they'll still get the content, but they won't get like the collectible bells and whistles of like an art book or a cool box or stuff like that. They'll have to wait on it. So some of it is just time.
Yeah, looking at the casual fan overall as a whole, besides for the, you know, Dragon Ball Zs and Dragon Ages and Mass Effects out there, there's just a bigger pool, but it just doesn't go back to that well as often. But they're a fan of maybe animated entertainment, and we just ping them on some shows here they they like, and other shows they like also could be non-anime. So they'll go pick up the save line, the classic line, or cheaper lines near the end of a life run of a show, and be happy with that. They're still collecting it. They just want it in their wheelhouse, so to speak.
Yeah, kind of like an example is within our top 25 of like DVD sales or DVD Blu-ray sales. You know, because I've got videos, Nielsen video scan with me right now because, you know, Zach goes, whoa, Lance, what's selling for you this year? So I already have it queued up because I'm anticipatory to this time. Our new Hawk Show box sets, the one that released in 2009, they're still in our top 25.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of casual fans
and
there.
And that's a casual fan. And then, like, the Dragon box set has just still done real well for us. So...
The Dragon Ball Orange bricks where they'd never stop. I don't think they're ever going to stop.
No.
Well, so I guess speaking to that, aside from Dragon Ball, what's working?
Lance pulls the numbers for himself right now.
Calculating. It's basically the pander genres are selling quite well. The Sekirei, and we've got a lot of good heat for sorry, that just sounds bad.
I was going to say,
we've got a lot of heat for Cat Planet Kings. And
shocker.
Going to have a very long tail for Kings in Economics. Sorry. And speaking of Kings in Economics, I was going to say Spice and Wolf.
Oh, Spice and Wolf, yes. Moe Economics.
No, sorry. Our Dragon Balls keep doing well. Hitalia, Sekirei, Rosaria Vampire. One thing that has really surprised us was we thought Fairy Tail was going to be a good addition to, like, you know, the, you know, a good shonen, a long running shonen action. Because, you know, Dragon Ball has a certain number, Yu Yu Hakusho has a certain number, Full Metal has a certain number. We have a certain number for Fairy Tail, and Fairy Tail just keeps performing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, right now we have a sale and a retailer online, and it's like, it's in, like, the top 10 of sales for, like, the entire week. I'm like, what?
The whole set.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm just surprised how well Fairy Tail is working. So, you know, fans going, well, okay, yeah, these four are working on it. Is Funimation going to do the next month? I'm waiting, Funimation. And I'd tell them just to stay tuned.
Be optimistic.
On that. Yeah. And then... you know, our most recent launches, Heaven's Lost Property, Black Butler. The good thing is our projections right now, all the shows are hitting our projections. We've only had one that kind of just was, it met expectations. We were hoping for a little bit more, but it just met it, and we're fine with that. So, yeah, it's our catalog is just... is going quite well. I mean,
kind of keeps on trucking.
Cooley, Summer Wars, the first Eva movie. We have no news on Eva 3, if that's a Twitter question.
God, we wish we did, though.
So sorry for the Eva.
Adding to what Lance saying, basically, we looked at the what's been, you know, trending on the Funimation.com, both on subscription and we call it the free part of the site. Almost part of what we're talking before is in the top three. Ever since the site launched its the updated video player, Fullmetal Brotherhood has been up there for casual fans and non-casual fans alike from all different sources that never has dropped below three, no matter what other shows we put in there. Now, it was changed its spot a lot between a lot of Rosario Vampire fans watching. Oh, my God, when that launched, that was huge. A lot of other people jumping on for all the different shows where that are new and hot. I see a lot of people going to the site for catalog. Our catalog, what you call shows, there's everything's being watched. Someone's watching almost everything on the site. So it's wonderful we have such a wide catalog. But all the new stuff we're promoting, the second it goes up there, there's people either signing up for a subscription right then to see it, or they'll basically the second it's available beyond the first four, they go grab it. So we're seeing a lot of our new stuff pop also every single month. So our advertising is working. So thanks for everyone seeing our ads and clicking on them.
Yeah. Yeah. And once we put our catalog in Sears and JCPenney, those catalog sales went well.
So it sounds like boob shows and shonen. That's Well, sounds like that's what's moving.
So we put a lot of those out this time. Yes, we also have the Pretty Boy shows too. So it's almost the genres that are out there. Right. But overall, basically, I would say I don't have the exact numbers, but percentage wise, basically, a lot of catalog is still.
But the thing is, it's like, you know, fans go, "Ah, Funimation, boob shows and pander. What are they doing?" Well, I mean, we have both sides of the sexes with Black Butler and Hitalia, mm-hmm. and then you know, the Hemsall's properties and those Cat Planets, but. I mean, that's what Japan is producing, mm-hmm. and you know, if every year there was a Black Lagoon, if they did like five Black Lagoons, a Trigun, an Escaflowne, those type of titles, man, I would be eating that up. I'd be pounding on Gim's door saying we have to buy every one of them. Yep. But the thing is, that's not what they produce a lot in Japan. So a lot of the taste that you know, like I have, that I like. You know, those are the titles that I personally buy. I don't buy, I don't, you know, whenever I, out before I joined here, I never bought any of the fan service shows. I mean, yeah, I knew of Love United and buy it and stuff like that. But, I mean, if the fans, just don't want those shows, I mean, cause like we have fans that really want them, but if you're kind of like want something else, then, you know, Kaze no Stigma. We just put that box set out again. It was in Best Buy. It's been a top 20 performer for us, mm-hmm. and that's not fan service. It's a good, you know, it's not going to win any awards, but it's just a good ensemble fantasy show. And so we have like 260 shows, over 260 titles. So it's kind of like the things that do get the spotlight. Are the TNA, you know, the boobs, those are the things that work for one segment, but we try to get everybody. I mean, we are, you know, we try to hit every fandom.
Yeah, we tried not to miss anything. And looking out, there's still some here in between. Like we picked up Princess Jellyfish, or we got Shiki launching up this coming week. So we see any. It's a good show out there. We're going to go give it a shot because there's going to be a fan there somewhere.
It's like Dead Man Wonderland. Oh yeah, the Steins Gates. You know,
Future Diaries.
Chow's Head.
Yeah, Chow's Head.
I like to call it Chow's.
Yes. So yeah, basically we call it. There's a mix all the way in between. There's just so much shows out there, but of course people are talking about. Yeah. Oh my God! Did you see the animated GIF they just put up for Cat Planet Cuties?
Yeah, it's like. Wow. Hander mode for that show, and I'm not embarrassed. I mean, that's what the fans
kind of love it. I'm not gonna shame them for that.
I mean, if we want to go Shiki, I'll put on some guy liner and do a video. I might actually do that if people want me to.
We have a Shiki what promotions starting next week. You'll hear all about. Maybe even by the time this airs live.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's a lot to be said for the fact that in the last couple of months, it has been, you know, quite a few boob shows have come in the mail. And, like, you know, it's one of those things where it just happened to be a run a couple of months there where that's what you were chiefly releasing. But, you know, in a few months when it's other stuff, you won't hear anyone talking about that.
We just happen
to notice that it's all sort of coming out at the same time.
Yeah, we for all of our boob shows, we try to stack them up.
Okay.
I need a rim shot sound effect.
So the one thing that doesn't seem to have worked, and I want to ask about this. I would assume that you probably can't get the full story here, but the indefinite hiatus / potential cancellation of the Dragon Ball Z Restored Blu-ray release. Sort of abruptly shut down. Not more than what I think you got 2-3 sets in.
And I
have to assume that a tremendous amount of money was spent putting that restoration together because you guys were doing it yourselves. And whatever the return was, it wasn't meeting the expectations for the investment that was put into that. That's what I have to assume. You can correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, well, it's like, and our partner's Tui on this as well, and some of it is, it's like, it's a project that we still want to complete, it's just like, but right now, it's just not the right time, and so it's like, okay, well, then we'll just shelve it for now and do it later.
Do you feel like ultimately it was too soon after Kai?
Well, I don't think it's about Kai, I just think that... our bricks just keep selling, And I think right now it's the casual fans are just using those bricks. Mm-hmm. The Blu-ray, we were thinking that more people would choose the Blu-ray because, you know, why don't you see them? They're beautiful.
They're gorgeous.
Yeah.
And so, and then on our DVD surveys, I mean, on our consumer surveys, we asked the question, do you own a Blu-ray player or PS3? And it's at 71%. On homemediaretailing.com, that number is around 30 for the average household. And so our anime fan is 71% have a Blu-ray player. And so that was you know, some of the assumptions. And so the project's not killed. We're just putting it on hold.
And looking at also Dragon Ball Kai for a second there, we actually look at Dragon Ball Kai almost like a different demographic. That's why we also have it on, Toon Disney. Yeah. Basically up there, this is like getting new people, kids today who are used to a shorter, more concise storyline into Dragon Ball Z, where the Blu-ray fan, there's less kids in there available. Nicktoons, thank you. I knew I had it wrong. I was like, that's not it. Nicktoons.
Wrong competition.
Toon something. So basically, I was looking for the younger audience first, basically for the broadcast to get people in that version. And then basically the more adept Dragon Ball fans have been there for years to look at the Blu-ray.
Right. So the idea is to eventually pick that back up again, but maybe let demand build up a little bit more, because it sounds like basically the need for Dragon Ball is being met still by those bricks that are still in print.
Yeah. I mean, because like, sorry, we internally call them orange bricks. I mean, it's the orange Dragon Ball season sets.
Yeah, yeah. Well, as you think about like just the overall cost for doing it is very high. Kind of like when VCRs came out, they were first expensive, but years later they were super cheap. Yeah. So we're just waiting for the cost for it to come down a bit more too, meeting demand out there in the world.
Well, yeah, and you're paying for that restoration. Like if Japan, if Toei was paying for that restoration, I would imagine the story would be different here.
Yeah, we're working in tune with Toya on that, and so it was just we have internal resources working on it, and we just put a hold on it. So
right.
I mean, it's not going to go away. We want to put it out eventually, but it won't be for a while.
Stay tuned to the next Dragon Ball Z.
I'm sure we all will. So I also wanted to ask a little bit about the iPad app. You guys just released an iPad app that I assume works in concert with Funimation.com. I wouldn't know because I didn't want to pay $10 for it. And that is sort of my question. Why is this thing $10? And what's the goal here? Who are you trying to hit with this thing?
Well, first, actually, what do you call it? The mobile app for iPhone and Android and iPad Touch. There's a free version and a paid version.
Right.
We're actually working on an iPad and tablet app right now for it, because the iPhone one basically and the Android one basically looks like it's just stretched on an iPad or Android tablet. Which basically the free version you'll get like episodes 1 through 4 as well as clips, trailers, news updates, all different stuff like that on your mobile device. The paid version you basically get thousands of hours, like 80% of our catalog you get for $10 one time fee. On there, and you get there's banner ads on the free one. There's no banner ads on the paid one. If you're a subscriber, you actually can get either one and unlock all your content across it. So you actually don't have to pay for the app if you're a subscriber. The only difference really is that just the banner ads lets you pay for the $10 one. But if you don't care about that, you'll get no commercials. You get more content, extras, things early, all the different stuff. And the tablet app will work the exact same way. We're looking to bring that out late July right now. And it's also going to be what's called a universal app, which means if you bought the mobile app, you will get the tablet app for free, the paid version, that is, and vice versa. So basically, if you wanted to sample the stuff and try it out, like watch an episode or two before, you buy it, the free app works great for you. Or you just want to get lots and lots of anime for one-time shot, get the paid version. That's kind of our tactic for that, where the free one is a marketing tool and to get people into shows. Where if you just want anime to, while you're walking around or on your iPad or your phone, you can still fully get that with a one-shot deal. We actually first announced it and demoed it at Anime Boston in SakuraCon. And at Boston, we had people walking up, kept asking us over and over again, it's $99 just one-time fee, right, for like 3,000 hours worth of anime and growing. I'm like, yeah. You sure? It sounded like almost like too much anime for the price. Mm-hmm. So we were happy to say, all right, that sounds great. So the people have been happy with that. So we're excited about what we call that. And we actually have more devices coming down the pike.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, I thought it was $10, and then that worked in concert with your subscription. But if you don't have a subscription and you pay the $10, you still get all that content.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we had a little confusion right off the bat, and we actually went out and reprinted our postcards to explain that a little better. Mm-hmm. And we have a we're actually going to be – we have a walkthrough online, which we're going to do a second audio treatment where it clears that up also. And we've been repeating that repeatedly because that has been a little bit of a confusion point. So we're trying to clear that up.
You repeated
it. I repeated the repeated. See? Caught me.
Okay. Interesting. And so every time we talk to you guys, taking steps into new digital places, and it sounds like that is sort of the most recent one, especially if you don't have the tablet app coming out until July. So is that what's consuming most of your time at this point?
That's consuming part of my time. I'm focusing a lot on devices, but really a lot of it is just Funimation.com. Yep. We're doing a lot of different changes and growth there besides just adding new stuff. We're trying to do new contents like this web event I'm talking about for Shiki. We're going to be teasing and announce that we're Friday, when you'll hear this, probably on our site, but we're having a web event next week for Shiki. You'll hear Monday exactly what that is, promoting that show, as well as we have all new simulcasts for the season, so we're promoting those. And we also have new shows just adding to the site that have not been on the site, like or have been off the site for a while and is coming back new. Like we've added Mushishi back on our site, but now it's in HD for subscribers. So I've been pushing a lot of people subscribe, reasons to subscribe. We added simulcast now in HD for subscribers and on your mobile devices. So I've been focusing on a lot on that in my world. So that's been the big bulk of it. I've been going to a cons to promote this. I'm actually now adding another Funimation-related panel. I've done twice so far. I think it's coming better and better each time. A Funimation.com panel that focuses on what's streaming, what's simulcasting, what's coming up next. Different things like that. Also looking at getting more extras to either film at panels at cons or maybe get some actor interviews that are for a subscription or for the site. We actually now have taken some of our DVD content and posting those for subscribers on Mondays and Fridays every single week. Commentaries, outtakes, OVA specials, mini episodes. We're now adding that twice a week as well. So that's been the overall consumption of my life recently.
Before we get too far away from the mobile stuff, I did have one quick question. Recently, I bought an Apple TV.
Yay.
And the best thing ever is the Crunchyroll app supports AirPlay, where, you know, I can have it on my phone or iPad or wherever and just beam it right to my TV. Is that something that you guys will support?
I'll have to go check on that, because I'm not sure if AirPlay will flow through that, because I don't know if we actually – I know I haven't tied it with the Apple TV yet. But I won't say no, because there's a lot of options we're looking in this, and there's going to be some updates. There's little bugs the first time, so we already had two updates on the mobile thing to fix those things. But on top of, like, we're looking at Roku apps, we're looking at InTV apps, we're looking at a wide variety of different apps out there. So
actually making your stuff available on Hulu Plus.
There's a lot of stuff on Hulu Plus. I know that much. There should be a variety of stuff on there.
Yeah, it's bottom line is, if there's a demand, we'll look to go into that. So if there's demand for AirPlay, we'll look into AirPlay, and we'll eventually get on AirPlay.
Yeah.
So a lot of it is it's kind of like we're a consumer business because we're trying to please the consumer, and if the consumer wants X, then that's market. We got to do that.
Great example is that actually when we first started demoing it, people were asking, you know, basically about either. Are you going to do a Kindle Fire app, or does this work on Kindle and things like that? So we went back to the lab and started, you know, seeing if that's a possibility or not. So maybe might be in the future by people just letting us know. We listen.
Yeah. And if they want to, like, you know, a Shotgun of Shauna sponsored Kindle Fire.
Natsu kind of one. Yeah.
So talking about the streaming, I did want to ask about this, the simulcasts. At this point, you know, we do the preview guides, and we try to do them, you know, up to the minute. Like, the minute the show is available, we do it. And I have noticed this, that I can kind of no longer count on Funimation to have stuff right when it's within a few days of it actually airing. It seems like the pattern is not to announce it until well after, maybe a week after it started. And then the simulcast doesn't start until sometimes 3 weeks to a month after the show's already been on the air for a month. Is that just the timing of those contracts? Have you found that the time there is negligible and you're not losing viewers to that gap?
Some of it is we try to have the contract completely finalized before we announce. We try to have all of the – because there's so much detail to do with all the simulcasts that I think that eventually that it will get to the point where we'll announce ahead. But a lot of us, to us, it's like, you know, we just want to just do it right and follow the procedures and just, you know, put a quality stuff out instead of doing a hurry release. And so that's kind of like what we're doing right now. I mean, we'll probably get to the point where, some shows, I mean, you have to negotiate when you can put something out, and then you have to see when you can get resources and if we have enough resources allocated to do the catch up. But I mean, currently, you know, it is what it is right now. A lot of it is trying to do the contracts and get the materials, but you know, eventually we'll be doing more of the day and date simulcasts.
Do you have any data that would suggest that the day and date stuff does better, or again, like, are you noticing any kind of a viewership drop when you wait as long as you have occasionally waited?
Not really. And I think a good part of that is, of course, if people want to see it when they come out, the really hardcore fans are going to find a way to see it no matter what.
Yeah.
But there's such a vast variety of fans from all the way from casual to super hardcore in between that, lucky enough, we have like a huge following on Facebook, on LinkedIn, on Twitter.
LinkedIn.
I'm need sleep.
Wow.
I know. Jumping around. Twitter, Facebook, on our site. Yeah, Friendster. MySpace is huge. I'm telling you. But we're also like on, you know, Tumblr, Pinterest, all different places we're going like that. We have such a big following in different areas that when we announce a show.
Ladies Home Journal?
Yes, absolutely. Next week. Sweet. Next week for sure.
Sweet.
We have such a following on different things that people our newsletters and our blog that when we tell people to do it, we're hitting such a wide variety of fans that might not have been looking for it. Like, they're just going about their day doing their own thing and they're waiting for to be told it's coming out. It doesn't matter as much to them that it came out last Tuesday than this Tuesday. So we're still a lot of viewership from the wide variety of fans.
Okay, so in other words, I'm breathing sort of rarefied air when I say, hey man, you didn't start Lupin until like a month after it started. That does me no good, you know, so I guess I'm in a special place that maybe your wider audience isn't quite where I'm at.
well, a lot of the stuff is, you know, we have to work within, you know, legal we have to work within legal boundaries that others don't have to, and so we have to play by the rules.
Well, specifically, I'm comparing what you guys are doing to Crunchyroll, and Crunchyroll typically
It's like with Crunchyroll, they've been doing it for how long?
Sure,
they have. You know, it's kind of like, and then you know, they probably have their own processes, but their sole business is simulcast. You know, we have simulcast, but then we also do a lot on home video. You know, we do internal authoring of the DVDs.
Recording, merchandising.
Recording,
yeah. It's only part of our business.
And so streaming is a portion of our overall what we do. And with Crunchyroll, you know, that's their bread and butter.
Right. So if you could focus your company's entire resources towards
entire resources.
Okay. All right, I understand.
So I mean the thing is, it is very important to us. I mean, streaming is going to be more important to us coming down the road. But a lot of the stuff is, you've got to ramp up for it. You know, if we do see that the trailing views, we ramp up more. Yeah, we'll get to that you know, to level of day and date simulcast. I mean, absolutely, we're going to get there. You know, I mean, we'll probably do a lot more, probably like this July and September. You'll probably see maybe half. You know, but I can't guarantee it.
We'll keep moving, working towards improving.
Because a lot of this stuff is like, whenever we try to get shows, we always kind of want to evaluate them, because sometimes you only get to see a promo video. You don't get to see a full episode. And some of it is, you kind of want to see some of the goods before you plop down all your money on something. Because if you're not, you're kind of like, you know, you're rolling dice at Vegas. And if you make too many wrong rolls, then you're out without your shirt. And you're thumbing up. You know, you're thumbing a ride all the way back to Burbank.
So, in addition to the streaming initiative and the simulcast and everything, obviously we have to ask about Funnyco, because this was a huge announcement last year that, as far as those of us on the outside can tell, has kind of fizzled, or hasn't really started yet. And we're very curious what is up with that, because it seems to have completely just gone kind of nowhere, and to the point now where shows are getting yanked off of Nico Nico all the time, and your own Funimation.com initiative, that all seems to be where you're heading full steam ahead. And what is, so what's up with Funico? What happened there?
Well, a lot of the stuff is that was it's a partnership with Nico Nico, and so the person that can best answer that, and I know I'm going to give the answer that you'll want, because I'm not going to give you a whole lot of information. But you know, it's our partner, it's their project. They should be the ones that talk about their project. We work in partnership with them. Yes, you see a lot of the shows on our website, mm-hmm. but you know, I can only comment to what stuff that is on our website. We still have a good relationship with Nico Nico. It's just that for I don't want to talk about their business, because that's their business. So we still have a good working relationship with them.
Yep.
But it didn't. So whatever doesn't seem to be happening on Nico Nico, you can't really comment.
Yeah, it's just that it's I just can't comment on it. I'm sorry about that.
We know our day to days. We don't know all their day to days.
Right, sure. It just you can see where we're coming from on this one.
Oh yeah, no, we totally get it.
Yeah. It's kind
of understand the question, but we don't want to speak out of turn for someone else's business model.
Sure, of course. Okay, of course. I think that the feeling was that it was more of a you thing than a them thing, and that now I'm getting the impression it's more of a them thing than a you thing, which if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's all your inference.
Okay. All right. Yep. So you mentioned all the boob shows. You mentioned all the shonen stuff. What have you got coming out this year that y'all are particularly excited about?
Dragon Age.
Genion.
Okay.
That's really, the Genion stuff's finally coming out, is it?
Yes. Actually, we've actually started adding the subtitled episodes to our subscription site right now. The last few 4 weeks, we started with Zero Experiments Lane, a personal favorite of mine. Mm-hmm. And I've been adding more and more stuff. We had Technolize and the Armitage movies we just added.
Yeah. A lot of the stuff is like, people don't realize that Tenchi's almost 20 years old.
God, yeah.
You know? Yes. I mean,
gotta feel old.
Hi, anime fan. You're old. Get over it. Nirvana's 20 years old.
Tenchi actually is 20 years old. 92. Yeah. So that's this year.
And so some of the stuff is, it's, we're going to be putting the dub and the sub early than the DVD. So, you know, we're trying different approaches to some of these Genion shows, where we're going to have, like, think of it as an old school, cartoon time. Mm-hmm. That you know, it's just like if you want to experience the mid 90s and early 2000s, you know, You can put on your Depeche Mode T-shirt and turn on the Smiths and yay, there you go.
We're right in Justin's wheelhouse now.
And so,
I was going to say, implying I didn't have them blaring already.
We mean wash them.
Yeah. And so these episodes can be your own personal Jesus.
Yes.
God. Every time I talk to Lance, I remember anew.
Yes, and you still keep coming over and wanting to talk to us.
If it wasn't fun, it wouldn't be Funimation. Yes.
No,
it's like a moth to a flame.
Yes.
Yep.
It's because what we're trying to do is, you know, with the Genion stuff is, like, if we're going to release it, we want to release it right. And a lot of the rights and releasing it right is, you know, trying to see all the extras that they release in Japan, seeing if we can request the extras, see if they're still available, getting approval for them. And then talking about Blu-ray, you know, there are some shows that they release some Blu-ray, then it's, you know, requesting, see if the materials are there, and also DVD. DVD, Blu-ray, requesting the Blu-ray, then they're saying, well, what price are you pricing it at? What's your date? What's the materials? Everything that we are doing with this, we are working hand in hand, you know, weekly phone calls with our partners in Japan over at Genion. And so, you know, we have a plan. We know what we're working on. I'd probably just be, you know, if you can draft an extra $20 out of your paycheck each week, to prep for fall.
Genion Fund.
For a little Genion Fund. Go for it. And so, pretty soon you'll be seeing release dates for Tenchi, for Black Lagoon, for Helsing, for all the stuff that we announced about 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sorry that it took a while. Part of it was the court merger. Part of it was we had so many shows trying to get materials for. Some of it is just it takes time to go through all the materials and work on everything and just putting it out right. Because would you rather us put out a really nice collector's edition version or us putting out just the episodes on a DVD, selling it for $40?
Mm-hmm.
Some people going, yeah, I want that. But, you know, we can do that.
We'll do that eventually.
But we can do that in like a year later. It's just that you only get one chance of doing it right. Mm-hmm. And that's why we just chose to wait a little bit just to do it right.
Well, plus with these shows specifically, it's not like people are, you know, dying to see it because they've never seen it before. And that strategy makes sense. When you're like, okay, I want to buy Serial Experiments Land on Blu-ray, and I want a real nice one. I want to buy the one that I'm going to keep on the shelf forever. You know, yeah, so that's,
exactly.
That's I've been banging that drum here, mm-hmm. just trying to get that and trying to show it, because sometimes you have bean counters that you know, just like, well, what called's going to be expensive? Cost of goods sold, and they're like, well, it's going to be expensive, and then you have to prove. Why?
It's a lot of time around here proving stuff.
And then you have to prove the numbers.
Uh-huh.
And then once you prove it, then, you know, you can work on it. And that's some of it as well. Other things, on the 15th, we announce all of our release dates. And so 2 days ago, we released all the dates for August. And lo and behold, we have the new One Piece episodes out.
Season 4.
And so...
So we were very happy about that, finally getting some more new eps of One Piece.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But, like, just next week, like, our big thing we're ramping up around here, besides really talk cheeky, is Dragon Age. So we finally get our first Copra on the shelf there. It's going to be a big deal. We've been working with BioWare and EA on that a lot. They've been great. They've been great partners about it. They're actually – it's a wonderful thing. Like, you know, we're with some companies and they're like, oh, you're doing an anime version of what we're doing. That's nice. These guys have actually been really like, that's so awesome, but do you want to do an anime of our game? We love our game a lot, and that the fact that you guys want to do this anime, we are on board. What can we do for you? They've been bending over backwards trying to help us on anything we can for this, so we're very excited to see that come on shelf.
Yeah, because it's the creators, the writers, the people that, you know, develop the game, they approve everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if you want a faithful movie, because, you know, in the past there have been some video, you know, made for a home video release of a franchise. They're like going, what?
Yeah.
Oh, no. It's that's the thing we're trying to say, no, this can be done right. So hopefully, you know, once you pick it up, we want feedback, and you know that's what we did the 3 weekends in April, where it was SakuraCon, Penny Arcade East, and Boston. We had screenings at all three, and then we videotaped everybody that came out. And so people that watched it and hadn't played the game watched them play the game. We did testimonials, because you know we wanted internally, the people that worked on it all the time, you know, it's good motivation for them to say, and your ideas, you know, this is what they saw. And it was like a good pep for them, showing that to the people at BioWare. But also, you know, there's kind of like a, you know, peer review, because we can sell this title to you all the time. But, you know, sometimes you trust friends more then you trust a company putting out a product, and it's like, hey, is this show actually good? Or, you know, I just want to know kind of like from just a person, is it good? And so we posted a video of all the people that thought about it, and it's been really good. People were kind of surprised, and they're going, I didn't have high hopes for it, but I really liked it. So it was neat. They were honest. And so that's the good thing.
Yeah. The overall feedback from conventions and small focus groups we've had for this has been a nice eye opener for things we didn't even think about or think as rank as highly, being that we look at Dragon Age, of course, we're thinking some video game fans and casual fans, and within hardcore anime fans included in there, but we were thinking, well, there might not be as many hardcore anime fans. There was people lining up at all these cons to actually see this movie that were hardcore anime fans. Like at Anime Central, the line was 4 times longer than the room could hold to see the film. So it was a really big deal there. I mean, a lot of people coming up and say, I've never seen, played the game, but I just love fantasy. I do, you know, basically, or Ren Faire stuff, and this was a lot of fun.
I just like dragons. I want to see this movie because I like dragons.
Basically. So it was a lot of people jumping on board saying, I like the animation or I like the idea and it looks cool. I'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
So it sounds like the reception's been pretty good so far. My concern with this stuff is that I pay pretty close attention to this stuff. I'm a fan of all those games. I've played all of them. And the heat's kind of off those franchises right now. Right now, in terms of the release window for this thing, I don't think they've even announced Dragon Age 3. The second one was largely considered a disappointment. I thought it was kind of a shitty game, and apparently most everyone else did too, after really loving the first one. And the heat's a little off the franchise. It's not what it was even a year ago. And certainly the same is true for Mass Effect at this point, after everybody lost their shit over the end of Mass Effect 3. Are you gauging, like, the fan reaction to the video games and then saying, okay, now we're a little concerned about these, or have you seen absolutely no drop in enthusiasm or anticipation?
Well, a lot of that is timing, and it's timing of, because, like, these games have been in development for quite a long time. I mean, sorry, these shows in quite a long time, and you know, us learning, getting the learning curve of dates and timing and windows. So, just like with Mass Effect, we saw that there was an opening for one. I mean, we knew that with Mass Effect, it would be after everything. But this is a widely respected franchise. There's so much character that you can grow in it, because think of all the... Think of all the story and all the canon that has been added with Dark Horse, and so that's kind of like what our approach is. You know, this is a strong franchise that can have more stories told within this world, and we say that there are some stories that we can tell within an anime movie, and that's how we gauge what titles that we want to do.
Yeah, looking at the timing, would it be great to work right alongside a launch? That'd be awesome, but it doesn't have to be. I mean, if you look at kind of the talk between...
We'd absolutely want that, yeah. But just the timing was off.
Okay. Yeah, but there's so much still talk about the franchises between each one when there's still no new game launch going like that. Either basically anticipation for another game, or just in shift back that they like the characters of the game or something about it, that we felt like just reminding them that, hey, Dragon Age, remember this? And they go, oh yeah, this is awesome. Well, there's an anime coming out for it. I'm on board. So I think that basically there was a mixed reviews on Dragon Age 2. That basically that didn't really hurt what we were doing, being that we weren't tying directly to that sequel, and as well as, I mean, it's a prequel for one of the characters that are mentioned in it, but it's still its own storyline. So with that, and just basically the wraparound of the idea of Dragon Age, I think was just basically something to jump on. And Mass Effect, the same exact case.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No. That makes sense. You are kind of coming at a good time too, because as much as I was disappointed by Dragon Age 2, I will absolutely play a third one. It's not like I'm totally soured on the franchise. It's not like it's dead to me or anything. It's just that game wasn't that great. So it's not like the franchise is completely over and dead to people and they're not interested in it anymore. These are still popular, vital things that are out there.
If Star Wars Connect can weather the Star Wars franchise, anything can make it.
There you go.
Right. If people can wait 10 years for another Diablo.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, speaking to that, did the reaction to Mass Effect 3 have you guys sweating at all?
No. I mean, really, but most people seem to like Mass Effect 3, so they were, you know, the people different about the ending, which I didn't have that big of a problem with the ending, honestly.
I still haven't played it yet. I'm sorry.
But overall, basically, the franchise was even bigger than Dragon Age in most people's minds. So we're looking at that as even a bigger property coming down the pike. So, and it's still BioWare. We worked with them beforehand and EA. So we're feeling good about this one. We're actually just taking what we're learning from Dragon Age and just applying that to Mass Effect. So we're feeling good about that. And same thing would be for whatever co-pros we work on next.
Okay. And any hints at what else you're looking at?
Stay tuned. We're working on some stuff in the pot. That's all we can say right now.
I'd say a little bit of the new, a little bit of the old.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Okay.
But yeah, with other releases, we got Panion Stocking, big one coming out in July. We're really excited about. We premiered the first two episodes with the dub cast showing up, the major part of an Anime Central, and that tie-in between that and launching the trailer at the exact same time. The first 48 hours on YouTube, the trailer got like over 50,000 views. So what we call it, people are liking that, and the room went nuts. We'll actually have the full panel video up, going up later this month. The first two episodes are going on our subscription service on Funimation.com the last Tuesday of this month, and we're going to put up the panel that went with the premiere at the same time for subscribers.
And also, if your listeners want to do a mission, because we all love to play video games and do countless missions, is people will kind of request us, like, so when is Penny and Stocking going to be on Adult Swim? When are you going to put Penny and Stocking on Adult Swim? And it's like, well, we pitched it to them. They don't know if there's enough demand for it. So what I think would be fun is, we all bombarded them with the Bring Back Toonami. Let's bombard them with wanting Penny and Stocking.
Because the people do have a voice, we'll say that much.
Because, we like the cursing on TV, and then if it's, seeing hookers and blow on TV is always fun, mm-hmm. If you just happen to, at Adult Swim on Twitter and bombard them wanting Penny and Stocking, if you just happen to go on their Facebook page and, you can't comment directly post on there, but if you, leave comments in every post comments. They say about, well, that's good. What about Penny and Stocking? And if you just happen to bombard their message board, because whenever we kind of like our, 500,000 friends on Facebook, whenever we told them to just kindly let Verizon Fios know about, the Fun Channel going away linearly. That was in March, and still to this day, if you go to the Verizon Fios Facebook page, every post they do, every day, one or two of those posts are like, yeah, but that's not Funimation Channel. They are still snarking on Verizon Fios.
Thank you, fans, for your passion and your loyalty. I won't say on that. That's amazing.
So if that admission, you don't have to take it if you don't want to, but if you want to say Penny and Stocking, Adult Swim actually wants to know if there is demand.
Yeah, so they're curious. Show them the answer.
Let them know. And that's all.
You guys must be pretty happy about the Toonami thing.
What? It's coming back?
It's back, bitches. Yes.
And like a third of it's your product.
Yeah.
Who's to say it's our product?
The lineup's pretty much out there. There's only one or two slots they haven't announced. But it is a lot of Funimation stuff. Are you guys? I would imagine you're angling to get more product into that lineup.
Yes.
Yeah, we call it the more anime on TV exposure, the better. And the sheer fans' love for Toonami from the April Fools' test. All the way till what the announcement on Wednesday was just it was great. It was great as everyone fell back in love with it. It was everything we thought they would do, but it was great to actually see it happen. Just doing backflips in along those lines as it's. Telling Charlene Ingram, one of our brand managers here, is like, I've been up since 3 a.m. today, but the news from about the tsunamis makes me feel like I run a marathon right now. I'm so happy.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice that that's coming back. I hope that they put some new stuff in it. That's sort of what I'm hoping for.
Yep. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, we want to beat the ratings of Ass and McGee.
I don't think that's even on anymore, is it?
Yeah.
No, we got this.
It's on DVR Theater at, it's on at 12:30 a.m.
Of course. All right. Time for Twitter.
Yay, Twitter time.
I warn you ahead of time. We got a shitload of questions, and I didn't quite have time to go through them all and make sure that there weren't any. Please tell us whether or not you license Sailor Moon type questions in here. So if those,
the answer for all those.
If those leak out, just just
stay tuned.
Give us your
catch all answer.
Okay. First up, Penguin Truth asks, any plans to dub the Loop on the Third TV, the new one?
Too early.
The new one? That'd probably be like my answer would be duh.
So you'd like to.
Yeah, we'd like to.
Yeah, we'd like to dub a lot of stuff. We'll see if we can or not.
It's like, because the thing is, for that show, it's like going, it's Lupin. It's like, no, it's not Lupin. It's Sexy Fujiko.
With a side of lupin.
You know, it's Sessie Fujiko. It's legs with a side of lupin. Mm-hmm. That's basically what the show is about.
Yeah, so what I guess you could say, if people want to see that dubbed and on Blu-ray, they should watch the stream, right?
Absolutely. Watch the stream. Get your friends to watch the streaming. Tell your everyone else to keep watching it like that. Mm-hmm. So as we do look at those numbers.
Daryl Buono asks, the guys commenting on my stream list articles want to know what's up with the delay in streaming Sankaria.
Oh, Sankire?
Sankire.
Sankire, yeah. That actually basically just started today. I mean, sorry, I started Thursday, since it's now Friday.
Yeah.
Thursday, or I call this afternoon, so they can start watching it right now. So that's a well-timed tweet there.
I call it Sanka. Sanka. It's my anime coffee.
That's the first thing that came to mind when I saw the title.
Okay.
Yep. Best part of waking up.
That's Vultures.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for the correction on that, Lance.
Yeah, again, lack of sleep.
Chibi UFO asks, any chance of Future Diary getting a DVD, Blu-ray?
Yeah, we announced the rights for that. What do you call it? We announced digital rights for Future Diaries. What was it? It was earlier this year. I mean, KatsuCon or something. So we got additional rights on that. So stay tuned on more details on that one. But yes.
Okay. Chimera Man?
It's the future, Conan.
Yeah.
Okay. Chimera Man asks, any shows from Bandai you'd like to see under the Funimation banner, like Wolf's Rain or Bebop or whatever?
Oh, there's a lot of stuff.
They got some good stuff in there.
That's too early to talk about.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's still a lot of stuff is still in print, isn't it?
I mean, I mean Bandai is still around.
Yeah.
It's just that they're just in transition. They're changing, so it's up to you know, that is like, what do we like stuff? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's still their stuff. That's still their company. So
things come available. You know, we'll take a look at stuff.
Bandai is still Bandai. Bandai is still, you know, Bandai Japan, mm-hmm. Bandai US is still Bandai.
Yep.
So
fun to say, Bandai. Yeah.
All right. Go Cuffy asks, new One Piece set just announced. Why is there no Blu-ray? Starting with episode 207, the show's in HD.
Because it's not released in Japan yet. We have to wait.
It's a rights issue.
Okay. Destructo Kitty asks, how are the sales on Princess Jellyfish?
Meow, 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 meow. Purr, purr. Meow, meow.
Will you translate?
I'm speaking in their language.
Speaking cat.
So, Princess Jellyfish, good, bad?
No. Princess Jellyfish, it's a genre title that hit its numbers. It's not going to be, it wasn't, you know, a breakthrough hit because we weren't predicting it to be a breakthrough hit. It performed well.
It's constant. It's one of those ones where you can see selling a decent amount every single week for a good long time.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not like a big wind-up style bomb.
No.
Didn't pull a Kenichi on us, but it's definitely doing its own, what I call it, wonderful numbers as it goes along.
Yeah, because like every show, I mean, we have budgets for every show, like, you know, it's going to do X numbers, this numbers, and mm-hmm. big numbers.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had numbers because it's one of those shows that just has a good message and it has a good audience. Mm-hmm. And that's
beautiful.
And that's one of the shows that we kind of want to present. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we said, well, in order to do the dub, it has to perform this. Okay. Gonna put your stamp behind it. And, you know, marketing says, yep. And so, you know, presented it, put it out, it hit the numbers. It worked.
Yep, we're happy.
Well, and so that show was kind of an experiment for you in terms of that was the result, not the only the result of, but one of the reasons you decided to put that out was the fan surveys. That was like the most requested show. So are the sales numbers that you're seeing for it, it sounds like they're hitting your projections. Does that mean you're going to consider doing that again?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But then also sometimes to realize is you just can't rely 100% on all the surveys because something that might be the number one requested might not be the number one in sales.
Of course.
So you know, and so you also have to, because a lot of it is it's measuring sentiment, because like you use other like, well, what are these titles like this have sold in the past? You look at like video scan of what other companies have mm-hmm. sold like this similar title. Then you work on the numbers. And so kind of like whenever we do these surveys, it's not the be all end all of all those results, but it's a really good, you know, just it's a, you know, just to test the fan base of you know, like, are we missing something? That's basically with that.
Yeah,
it's like going, we have this hunch.
it's always good to just go out and double check your work, so to speak, with the fans.
Yeah.
Okay. Got a lot of questions about this. Otaku Anthony wants to know what the deal is with Kadokawa blocking Blu-ray releases for titles that you're releasing. Can we expect that these titles that are only going to get DVD releases for right now to have a Blu-ray release in the future?
Well, for the Blu-rays with Kadokawa, it's eventually, do we want to put these Blu-rays out? Yes. The thing that everybody needs to remember is we're licensing this from Kadokawa, and at the end of the day, they own it. And at the end of the day, we're the same region. DVDs, they're region two, we're region one. On Blu-ray, they're region A, we're region A. And so it's a matter of timing and approval. First, they have to approve it, and then they have to then we have to work on the time. And then some of it is working on the extras, and then a lot of it is working on the price. And so they're a great partner, but you know, this is one of the things that they kind of want to have a little bit more of the decision on. And we have to respect their decision because it's their property at the end of the day.
And we like to keep working with them for future properties.
And so it's kind of like right now we have Blu-ray. I just say enjoy the Blu-ray. I mean, sorry, DVD. Enjoy the Blu-ray. Sorry, enjoy the DVD. I've had Blu-ray.
I've given you some of my what we call products.
But I'd probably say don't fret if you're patient. Be patient. We can't, say, blah, 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 we're going to tear down their walls and demand they put Blu-ray out, blah, blah, blah. It's just like, we can't do that. The business world just doesn't work like that. I mean, if all businesses worked like message boards, I mean, you'd have Scorched Earth World War 14, you know.
Flame roar and real
it's like, what if the UN worked like 4chan? The world would not be around. It's you've got to go through diplomatic relationships. You know, you have to prove the viability of a Blu-ray.
Well, what's left of the world would have a lot more porn on it.
Yeah, and the only place where you can buy stuff would be J-List.
Okay. All right, we touched on this earlier, but GoCuffy also asks, plans for Hulu Plus accessibility for new and future simulcasts. Previous simulcasts have had Hulu Plus ability, but not this season. Why is that?
Stay tuned on that one. I guess we just got to double check on what we call where that's the rights.
I have to say we're working on it.
I would say working on it because, again, each season's a little different, being just like stores in different seasons. So I'd say just stay tuned.
Yeah, it's like, well, what does that mean? It's called, we're just trying to work out a good business model on it. Mm-hmm. That's basically it.
Jacob YBM asks, what's the plan for more Dragon Boxes? How about getting another proper 4-3 release of Dragon Ball Z out?
I am actually trying to work on that. I've got some skunk work plans because the problem with those boxes is you can't really get them on retail. Mm. It's hard to get on retail. And in order to do something like that, there's a lot of cost of goods. And like you want to do the hard box, but in order to do the hard box, you need to have so many units have your printing costs go down, getting all those extras, getting all those DVDs, you want to release it nice because it's Dragon Box. Mm-hmm.
It's got to be quality.
And so we want to release those. I'm working on a way to do it, me personally, because I really want them out too. So are they going to be out eventually? Yeah, I really want them to be out. It's just doing it right because you either do it right or you don't do it at all.
Mm-hmm. Go home.
You just can't do half-ass on this type of stuff.
Go hard or go home.
A lot of questions from GoCuffy. Any plans for the anime? This is snarky, but here you go. Any plans
Can I answer a snarky?
Yes, of course.
Yay!
You just made Lance's day.
Any plans for Anime Classics line to actually release Anime Classics as opposed to just rescuing old licenses from the early 2000s?
My answer with that is your turd is another person's diamond.
I think that answers it. I don't think I'm really adding to that.
Does that qualify as snark? I don't know.
It's pretty snarky. I mean, Michael, it's in the snarky range.
Well, you understand the parameters of this show are so dark.
No, we can't. It's your level of snark.
No way. No. It's like, with all due respect, it's like some people's best favorite show is some people's worst show. Mm-hmm. It's like I know that, you know, Zach has Vile for Hikai J, but people bought it.
Hey, I understand, of all people. I like the humanoid.
Yeah, see, there's mixed in there.
Why is 2.5 Men still on? I don't watch it.
But a lot of people out there do. Yeah.
People watch it. It's like going, why did Community almost get canceled? Mm-hmm. That show should be on all the time.
It's kind of like,
oh my gosh, why are you doing this? That's why they're different genres. You're just trying to show different genres. And also the word classics within it. Hello, it's called a bit of a marketing play on it, because, you know, because you had Signature. No one gave them grief on Signature. You had, you had Bandai Legends. Mm-hmm. ADB had a line. Everybody has a line. Mm-hmm. And it's basically a line name. It's, you know, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, also, it's kind of like the classics of TV. I mean, Roger Corman movies are classics, but they're B-movie classics. Mm-hmm. They're not going to be in the top 10 of AFI.
Not so much.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, we actually kind of look at almost – the way we work at all shows, new and old, are very much like Lance is saying, as in, this might not be my cup of tea, but this is someone else is really loving into this. What do they like about this where I can aim towards that?
And if you wait 6 months, someone in Japan, some production company will make an anime about tea.
Yes, if you can't wait for that cup.
Yes, and then in 2 years
– oh, God.
There'll be actors that are amorphosized of – I am the tea. Well, I am the cup, or I am the saucer. You know, it's like that train anime.
We are very down the rabbit hole now.
Yeah. I feel like this guy was specifically wanting to know, like, why aren't you releasing Giant Gorg? You know, stuff like that. He wants to know about that.
Because no one will buy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you have your answer, folks.
We got a lot of people asking about.
I think a lot of those is. People might not want to buy it, but you'll probably see a lot of that stuff is it might be streamed online eventually. Mm-hmm. So it's like you might not be able to buy it, but some of it is just access. A lot of people it's just access.
Mm-hmm. Like we have shows on our simulcast or stream, but still we'll only live in the streaming world, but don't have DVD rights. And people just a lot of people just were happy to be able to see it. Some people want a DVD, of course, but the vast majority have said streaming's fine right enough. Good enough.
Yeah, kind of like that Space Miners.
any anecdotal bits about which anime classics did particularly well?
Well, FLCL we mentioned. Yeah, we launched that one out with a classic. Should I think what's the Lance is processing numbers as we speak.
Well, I can't.
Oh, you can't really filter it that way that quick. That would take a little bit.
If anime classics is more of it's more of a price instead of a line name. I mean, it's like good box sets. It's like good shows at a good price.
Yeah.
And then saves are kind of like, it's like good shows, but it's at the very end of our licensing cycle that they're a bit older. You know, those are titles that might not test the sands of time. But also in top 20, Samurai Champloo still kicks ass.
Heck yeah.
They still have – they're performing. The box sets are performing.
They're doing very well. We actually now bring in spinners of classic and saves lines just for our conventions, be like an extra special oomph. And people just go through that thing like catnip, picking stuff like that.
It's like you don't want to eat or buy something else in anime. Oh, buy anime.
Yeah. They might eat if it's $40. They won't eat if it's $20.
Right.
So we're very happy to take people's food money away from them. And speaking of which, Oron Host Club is coming with Classic soon, and we're expecting big things from that, of course, because that always does well.
Yeah, yeah.
Hard to think of that show as a classic, but then again, then I'm getting into the whole, like, hey, that's not a classic thing that is fucking annoying.
Well, that's why I say it's more of a line, because we're going to have that DVD in that line for probably, like, 5 years. I mean, that release, we probably won't release that title again for another, like, 3 to 4 years. Yep. It's just going to be there, you know, consistently. Kind of like, you know, like the Yu-Gi-Oh show still sell for us. I mean, we haven't released a new version of that since 2009 on DVD, mm-hmm. because it's still the same content, still the same price.
Just keep reprinting them as we
and
need to.
So, classics is people just have this sense of time where it's like, it's no Citizen Kane.
Where's my Lawrence Arabia Blu-ray? That's what I want to know.
So I'm like, sorry, dude.
All right. A lot of people asking about whether or not you're looking at Space Brothers.
No. We haven't really looked at it much. We see stuff. I'm probably certain that, you know, acquisitions has probably talked about it. I haven't watched it. That's why I said no. I mean, I'm not speaking on behalf of licensing. I know that people had some interest in it. It's just that some of the stuff is slice of life is very difficult. It might be really cool to watch. But for purchasing it on DVD, it's kind of like if you look online, there's so much traffic on like all the sites that stream K-dramas, but you don't see a whole lot of DVD sales on it. So some of it is some shows you just watch and you watch and you like them. But sometimes it's, you know, I love that show. Would you collect it? No, I love that show.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what would the comps on that be? Planetus, probably, and maybe Moonlight Mile, and neither one of those are, you know, barn burners.
Yeah, but the one thing is, I'm not disparaging the quality of the show. I'm not disparaging the people that created it. Mm-hmm. It's just that it might do an awesome release by some other company, and it might surprise us. It might be something that, crap, we missed out.
Yeah,
but you know it's kind of like it's not on our, you know, main laundry list of things to absolutely buy, but if there's an interest, we'll surely look at it. It's like I don't know Adam Zahner, our acquisitions VP guy, if he's looking into it. It's just like for me, if I give my opinion, it's just that it's a great show, but I just think that type of show people don't really collect a lot.
Mm-hmm. As Lance is saying, it really is basically something key into that. The quality show doesn't mean it always sell, and vice versa. There's some stuff, as you've foreseen out there, isn't of course quality, but does pretty well out there. So it's really about what people are going to buy, what they're going to watch. But there's some shows we'd love to continue or pick up, but we're just like, yeah, we can't. It just doesn't. The numbers don't equal out.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like, I mean, it doesn't like, I mean, there'll probably be like, you know. It's fun, like, you know, in the 90s, you know, it was like subtitled and then the dub, and now it's like dub and then subtitles, getting more into it. You know, there's two tiers of DVD and Blu-ray releases. And so if I had to look at some of these shows like each season, I mean, there's so many shows around like 2000 to 2006 that should have gotten a DVD release. You know,
mm-hmm.
So many shows, and this is one of them that you know could get a pretty awesome release. I imagine that the DVD extras for those that they do in Japan are going to be quite good. So, you know, it might just not be from us.
And touching almost also what Lance was saying, you know, some people have asked us, do you guys only go after what's new, and after how many months do you guys forget about it? And we're like, we don't really do that. We look at shows that you could be older and still be good. Yeah, I mean, like, Level E was an older show. It was a couple of simulcasts back, but we actually looked at that for what we called to pick that up, and now streaming that. So if it's quality, it might have just been missed by everyone by either the timing or some other reason. We'll go back and look at them.
Yeah, stay tuned, because we have a pretty sweet one that we're going to be announcing. And it's 5 years. It's not the one that's
not what everyone's thinking. I was like, you better qualify that one. What is that?
Yeah. It's not that.
Well, so based on your reasoning, if this show were called Space Boobs, you would be all over it.
No. some other company got that pirate show.
Hey, that's not a boob show. All right. Again, from GoCuffy, One Piece seems to be selling well enough for you to invest in more seasons. Why have there been no more movies?
Working on it.
Okie doke. Cypher Scythe asks, what's the deal with Railgun and Index? Have the rights issues been settled? When do you plan on releasing them?
Yes, we are in the dub process. We've already got one season that's the dub. We're working on the second one. We don't have release dates on it. We're trying to get some cool extras on it. We are working on it. Don't worry.
And right now we have the first season subtitled up on the Funimation.com, so you can watch it right now until then.
Yeah, just follow the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Just don't panic.
Emperor Brandon asks, any plans to get Ocean to dub the Black Lagoon and Shanna sequels like you got New Generation Pictures for Hellsing Ultimate?
I know that we have been in contact with Ocean. That's all I can say. Stay tuned.
Any personal favorites from your releases of the classic Shaw Brothers films, and is there a much crossover between fandoms there?
With the Shaw Brothers...
Oh, that was just on my list all of a sudden.
We did okay with them. We didn't do awesome on them. The correlation between our fan bases wasn't the Venn diagram that I was hoping for. I like the Venoms. The Venoms are awesome.
I can't remember all of them off the top of my head. I know there's one I'm thinking of in the back of my head. Was it the Opium? Was the Opium one? The Opium Master Part 2 or something like that? One of those ones where I was like, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah. And the Venoms, we only had like a side Venom movie, but sticking overall of the Shaw stuff, the Venoms are cool.
Yeah. I mean, they're good films, especially if you're into that kind of, type of live action.
Yeah. And then if you want to watch the old school cheesy dubs, those
are... Oh, God, they're so wonderful. The sound effects, they kill me.
Yes. It's just that, just seeing them, remastered is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay, Blu-ray releases for Mushishi and Last Exile.
Yes, Mushishi, probably no. For Last Exile, that has to come from Gonzo. Yeah, we just have to wait.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned on that one.
A lot of stay tuned.
But do we want it?
Yes. Oh my God, yes.
It? No.
Okay. Related, Roots of Justice asks, can we expect Fam the Silverwing to drop sometime this year? And which studio will dub it? Your in-house or Bang Zoom?
It's gonna be us.
I think it's next year.
And let me look at the release schedule, see if it's internally.
Which release schedule far enough out is kind of volatile for exact dates, so never exact dates. But seasons are around there.
Yeah, and last stuff. I mean, it's gonna be dubbed here, but are we looking for the actors that are going to redo their roles? Yeah, we're going to be, I think we're in the process of dubbing it. And I know that our mission is to try to get those actors in. And as always, if we aren't able to get one or two, we will let everybody know. Mm-hmm. So, in advance, but our mission is to try to get those actors in.
Yeah, was it Fam just wrapped up and Guilty Crown just wrapped up? So I know the materials on those didn't show up until they were done. The actual materials to actually work on the dub, because those are high quality than the streaming ones normally.
Yeah,
because they finished up some things for their DVD Blu-ray release.
Yeah, I have a street date already pegged for Last Exile and a release date. It's just so far out because whenever we solicit stuff, we solicit things 3 months in advance. So kind of like. This was May the 15th. We announced our stuff for August, and so we can say, yeah, it's on a release schedule. Yeah, we've done this, but I mean, it's with that, it's going to be months away. I wouldn't expect it for a while.
Also from Roots of Justice, Dan Boston, you guys seem to imply pretty strongly you have or are trying to get the physical rights to Toriko. Can you confirm or deny that?
We like meat punching. So we're going to try and work more on it.
Yeah, well, that's a fun little show. We'd like to get it. Have not got it yet, but we were...
Yeah, it's kind of like we don't want to spoil any awesome announcements that we want to do at a con, so... Mm-hmm.
Okay, Mike Stepp asks, putting the combo packs in Blu-ray cases, is that the new norm or is it just an experiment?
That was actually one of the feedbacks that we did for surveys and then also just looking at retail. And actually contacting our retail partners and getting their opinions on stuff, because at the end of the day, they're the ones that put the stuff on the shelves. they're the people that buy the product that you buy from them. So it was a matter of internal debates inside, and then getting fan sentiment online, and then working with the retailers, and then all three combined led us to that decision.
Mm-hmm. So like, getting that perfect storm, trying to get what the fans want, but make sure the retailers will carry it still so they can buy it.
Right. And what we think is cool, too.
We like it.
Okay, again from GoCuffy. He says he recalls working on getting the second half D-Gray Man with the first half entering save. Is there still a possibility for the second half to get released here, or is it dead?
I am still working on it. That is a little bit difficult, and I'll leave it at that.
Okay. And my research wants to know, a lot of questions here. He says he used to assume home media rights was both DVD and Blu-ray, but now it's not so clear. Do we need to wait for the actual solicitation?
The solicitation of which one?
I guess he's wondering, like, it's no longer, we can't assume any longer that when you say you have home media rights, that means you also have Blu-ray rights.
Well, the thing is like, we might have Blu-ray rights, but we might not have the approval. Even though you have the right, you still have to wait from the approval of the licensor to actually release it.
Right.
And sometimes also, we can't talk about to a certain point.
Yeah, and some of the stuff is, it's like it might be on our, in the previous question is, you know, this is something that we license from them. They still own the IP.
Yeah.
We are still the same region. There is not a lot of reimportation is what they worry about. There's not a lot of it. And it's just, you know, it's kind of like it's still their property. We have to work with them. And sometimes you'll wait, sometimes you don't. It just depends on the production committee, the licensor, and timing. So yeah, it's not lockstep of, you know, if it's sure that you want that, we only are releasing it on DVD. If you want to be patient, then be patient. If you want to hold out for the Blu-ray, if you want to buy the DVD and you're fine with that, buy the DVD. It's just that we're sorry that that's a risk that you're going to have to take at the beginning. It's a little out of our control.
Mm-hmm. We'd love to explain all of this in front, but we just can't always do that.
Yes.
It sounds like you're dealing with, yeah, sure, you guys can release a Blu-ray in a year or two from now. Like, that's kind of what...
Sometimes, yeah, there's always different cases.
Yeah, it depends on title to title, because if you look at our release schedule, you know, more of our titles have a Blu-ray-DVD combo. We have a couple that we have to split, and some that we might just be releasing DVD because the committee says we just decided just DVD. Mm-hmm. And that might be just like one every year. So yeah, sometimes they just don't want us to show the cards if we have Blu-ray rights or not.
All right. Brian also wants to know when he can expect his limited edition Tatami Galaxy Deluxe Blu-ray set. We all know the answer to that question.
Yeah, exactly. You just stand outside and wait, and we'll let you know when it shows up.
Awesome show.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I don't have the right answer for you.
Yeah. And that quality per sale part.
All right, got some questions from V-Guy. Bet you can't guess what these are going to be about.
Totally not Evangelion related.
No, not at all.
One Piece and Wraith Master?
Mm. It's going to be Kari Kano. That's all of them.
That's
Yeah.
Okay, how long do you anticipate the turnover time? What are you saying? Okay,
I was just trying to give Justin some flashbacks.
No.
All right, V-Guy asks, how long do you anticipate the turnover time between the release of Rebuild of Eva 3.0 in Japan this fall and in America? He says
a lot of that is he assumes that we've already signed the contract, they've announced everything. That is not the case. We try to work lock and step with our licensors. That show will probably have, like, if we get it, then we look at doing a theatrical been working hand in hand with them, but sorry, it's just too soon for that answer.
Yeah, each movie has its own separate committee, so it's not like going back to the well and talking to the same people again about let's just do this again. It's a brand new crew. We had to start all from scratch and start negotiations as soon as they were allowed to, which you don't know if that's going to be before they launch it or afterwards.
Yeah, sounds like a lot of fun.
Yes.
All right, he also asks, have you ever thought about releasing the Petite Ava shorts?
This is like the
Ava thing that hasn't been released yet.
I've seen those on some AMVs. If it was up to me, I would have those Indep Eva and all those manga entertainment stuff, because all those are out of print, but you know, it's just, Eva's Eva. It's some of those rights are a bit difficult.
We love that as much Eva as possible. Just can we get them?
Yeah. Cause like that cool, Eva music video, a DVD they released in Japan probably about like when the first movie came out. I actually bought the R2 version of that, but it was just music videos and it was pretty cool. So yeah, if we do something like that Petite Eva, it would be interesting, you know, if we get, you know, that third movie of, you know, like that would be something cool to talk about having, you know, acquiring that, having that as like a bonus feature on a release. I don't think it would warrant its own release.
Okay. From MD Geist. Didn't know he sent questions into this podcast. Any chance of license rescuing the Yu Yu Hakusho movie that Central Park Media had?
Yeah, that would be cool. since we finally got Aizu Hakusho released and the other movie released.
And that took a while.
Yeah.
That took a long while. A lot longer than I think any other show I can think of in recent history to put out.
Yeah, so... would we like it? Yep. Do we have any news on it?
No.
Nope.
Okay. Andy Ogami asks, streaming apps for game consoles.
Stay tuned on that. That might be a little bit more further down the line. The big difference is we'd love to do one. We started with a mobile app, it was kind of the first thing to jump on for programming-wise, is to like cut our teeth with. Like if we make a mistake, it's not so costly to fix along those lines. And also mobile, you know, gets tablet and everything else goes from that direction. Consoles are a totally different beast, more expensive and more programming involved in that one.
Yeah.
So we're trying to get this one right. And get it the way that everyone seems to be happy with it, and then go look at those. So we want to do it. So I would say possibly in the future, but it might be we're going to get a few more apps out first.
Yeah, I've been trying to do some AR, you know, that artificial reality. I mean, augmented reality. I think our next app that we're going to do is a scatter that streams everything. With
Google glasses
within your eyeball, you know, I think that's going to be the next wave. You know, I think we should be able to stream over 9,000 episodes. I don't know. I think we have enough.
And it was officially dropped. Yes.
All right.
There's the sigh. He was waiting the whole podcast for that.
Big on Anime wants to know if we're going to see Karen, Fate Stay Night, or Nanoha back in print.
Not from us.
Oh, I think that might be it.
What?
Holy crap, is that actually it?
We're actually under 2 hours still here, guys.
What?
Okay, I guess that wraps it up. What conventions can people find you guys at this summer? Because that's what we're heading into here.
After Anime Animazement, Anime North this coming weekend, we're at Anime Next Jersey. And then roll into the big three, Anime Expo, San Diego Comic-Con, Otakon. And I know we were teasing some of our fall cons too. I believe that's also, I know our Anime Week in Atlanta. I don't have the full list in front of me, but there's a wide variety of different things like that. I know
Jazz Fest.
Yeah, there's definitely a Jazz Fest, at least two of those. But it's a variety of different cons we're going to. We're actually at almost like a record. Like we're trying to get at 25 plus cons this year.
No.
So I'm glad it's not my department anymore.
Yeah.
But no AM squared.
Yeah, but then
just also, AX. We'll send some screeners and some promotional items. Absolutely for the support AX too.
Yeah, if anyone that is watching that has a con that would like some Funimation support, we do have on our page where we have an email that if you screen permissions, some promotional support, some pricing, just stuff like that. We always want to help.
Yep, conventions@funimation.com. Send them there, and we'll see what we can help with. Yep. Please email ahead of time because there's a backlog. We'll say that much.
One thing that I failed to mention is whenever you're talking about the health of retail is what we have been working on in the past year is you know, a lot of those questionnaires that we did online was you know, asking about local retail and seeing what local retail is missing from the big boxes, and then like, do you shop at anime conventions and whatnot. And a lot of that was, you know, building support for the independent anime shop owner and the hobby shop owner that has anime. Because in the past, if you wanted to know about an anime to watch, you would go to like a Suncoast. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, a lot of people there would, you know, watch the anime and they would tell you stuff. And, you know, the big stores, you just don't have that person that mans that area that would, like, suggest stuff. So a lot of it is like, if you're new to anime or if you kind of want something, you kind of like, well, what is it? And that's what, like, the local shops are for. And also it's trying to get – I know these comic book shops are getting more into, like, tabletop gaming and all this. They're kind of expanding more into a hobby, bringing in the manga where the borders have gone away. And we're just supporting them. And we have if you go into Funimation.com into the extra, we have like a shop locator. So it's like Funimation.com/anime-shop-locator as well. You just type in your zip code. And then there's over, I think we have over 300 local stores listed. So if you want to support local retailers, I'd probably say, If there's a shop in your area and you only shop at Best Buy, give them a shot.
Mm-hmm. Support your local retail.
Yep.
Okay, guys. Well, again, we always love having you on. You're always very candid with us, and it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming back on.
Thanks for having us.
All right.
Okay, that's our show. Big thanks to Adam and Lance for stopping on by. Theme song's Bucharest by the band The New Division. You can check them out at thenewdivision.net. Don't forget, subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave a little rating or review. We'd really appreciate it. And hey, we'll see you all next week.